I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. The Toronto Police's $48 million funding request for 2023 was approved by the Services Board this week. The approval will increase the city's police budget to about $1.6 billion after more than 6 hours of presentations, questions, and deputations during the meeting. Plans for the funding increase were announced by Toronto Police and Toronto Mayor John Tory last week. Part of the funding is expected to be used to hire more officers and 911 operators. Other funding projects include community initiatives like the Community Crisis Program that respond to mental health crises without a police presence. The city's police chief, Myron Demko, presented the funding request.
This year's budget request represents the beginning of what is a multi-year plan to begin to create capacity, make much-needed investments in technology, and to adjust to the challenges faced in policing a rapidly growing city with complex public safety issues in an environment of increasing demands for service. This service remains one of the leanest policing organizations on this continent when compared with other large urban police services. In 2021, for every officer in Toronto, there were 598 residents. You will see that ratio from other cities in our materials, but let me mention a few as compared to our one officer to 598 resident ratio. Montreal has one officer for 490 persons. London, England has one to 266. Chicago, one to 203. We continue to make up a declining share of the city's budget. We calculate that it costs each resident of Toronto about $1 per day to pay for the services we provide. This budget request is fiscally responsible and reflects the three priorities I detailed in my change of command address. Number one, improve trust in and within the service. Number two, accelerate policing reform and further professionalizing the service. Number three, ensure safer communities. Our primary focus this year and in years to come is and will be on core service delivery and the prevention of any further degradation in service. Indeed, we plan to demonstrate improvements in critical aspects of our core service delivery this year.
More than 200 individuals signed up to present deputations at the meeting. This includes Bill Worrell, who asked police services to consider funding other areas of need, including public services, mental health services, and youth programs. Worrell spoke on behalf of the Oakwood Vaughan Community Organization in Little Jamaica Community.
Oakwood Vaughan has experienced its share of public violence. Policing and community safety have been a focus of concern in our Oakwood Vaughan community for many years. In January 2020, OVCO, after months of community consultation and discussions with local political representatives, produced a brief position paper on community safety and policing that expands the concept from guns and gangs to a broader view of safety, the promotion of which lies in addressing the social determinants of health as the roots of fundamental solutions to the causes of community violence. Data-based academic studies generally identify the social determinants of health as income and social status, employment and working conditions, education and literacy, childhood experiences, physical environments, social supports and coping skills, healthy behaviors, access to health services, biology and genetic endowment, gender, culture, race, and racism. In relation to the last point, race relations with the police, and in particular with the Black members of our community, is an important issue. There are some community members who argue they are less safe with more police presence. At the same time, there's a serious lack of services in Oakwood Vaughan. Rather than expanding the police budget, the city needs to deal with these underlying issues. We reject the mayor's use of a purported increase in crime based on unsubstantiated data, and his use of a populist response to headlines for political gain. There is no credible data that indicate more police presence leads to increased community safety. We would argue, and data confirms, that moving funds to mental health services, youth programs, housing, income supports, to name a few, would go much further in protecting community safety.
University of Toronto PhD student Sean In voiced his opposition to campus police, arguing that their presence causes more harm than good. In represented the students mobilizing against systematic hardship at the meeting. This is a group at U of T.
One such injustice is the use of police force on campus grounds in the form of campus police, or as they have recently rebranded themselves, campus safety. Policing in schools is prevalent throughout Toronto, and at U of T, special constables are granted enhanced authority by you, which basically gives them authority of a police officer while being on campus. This also brings expanded special powers to deal with criminal offenses, which apparently includes experiencing mental health crises. This has led to traumatic instances on campus where students experiencing mental health crises are intimidated, handcuffed, and brutalized. And other scenarios where student community leaders like residence assistants have to de-escalate situations, some involving weapons, while campus safety stands by, merely watches, and sometimes even refuses to engage. U of T and TPS claim that the deployment of special constables is a way to reduce police presence on campus. This is a bad faith argument because there's no difference, no fundamental difference between how campus police and how TPS responds to and deals with members of our community that are struggling with mental health, addiction, houselessness, just to name a few. We are also seeing increased police presence in high schools and elementary schools. This is being justified by you all by saying, oh, there's increased violence in schools. However, this is yet again another bad faith argument because this violence is a direct result of decades of funding cutbacks that have severely reduced the number of teachers, support staff, and proper resources from our schools, which, mind you, disproportionately impacts racialized and working class students. Students are being met at their schools with cops roaming their halls with their weapons drawn. In what world is that okay? During the recent winter storms as well, it was the members of the community that were out there, like students, teachers, and everyday working class people that have been organizing relief efforts for those experiencing houselessness. Where were you? I'll tell you where. You were busy evicting people out of shelters. You were busy evicting people out of parks. You were busy intimidating and brutalizing advocates for simply trying to bring to the people what they need.
Plans to continue opposition against the funding approval will include a protest at Nathan Phillips Square outside City Hall on January 24th. The protest organizers, including activist Desmond Cole, are calling on the Toronto Police to allocate 50% of its budget to urgently needed community supports. Cole also spoke at the meeting, calling on the police to be defunded instead and to remind the public of the names of individuals that were killed in 2022 during police interventions. This includes Tarish Bobby Ramroop, who died in his Jaden Finch home during a mental health crisis.
Increase your budget. You're already doing too much. You're already killing too many people. You're already harming and wounding and traumatizing too many people while you ask for more. If no police had responded that day and Tarish's mom could have gotten to him before you all did, he would still be here with us today. But this is what you do. You get in the way, you take charge, you dominate, because that is what you are trained to do. So forget about an increase. You need to be defunded. You need to be abolished.
CGRU is awaiting an interview with Desmond Cole. More details to come. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative